This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Well, Well, Well. We're getting some music, a little bit of us, a little bit of Gazman.
That's cool.
I think we're having
sharing the vibe. It's all good.
I think we're having a bit of a music off there. It was sort of like our intro versus Gazman's music. I liked it. It was some good choices.
Yeah. Anyway, welcome, everybody. This is Jessie, and you're here with Adam and Carlos. This is Well, 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 brought to you live every Tuesday from midday. Thank you, Gazman, for the morning show. Hello, boys. How are we today?
Fantastic, I'd have to say. Lovely day.
Really
nice
well.
View.
It's a beautiful day out there.
Exactly.
It's actually a little bit sunny. It's very nice.
Yes, but if you've never listened to us before and you're a first-time listener, we love you. Thank you very much for joining us. But at Well, 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 we talk about topics that relate to the GLBTI community. So we're all about sex, health and well-being. So, Carlos, what are we going to be talking about today?
Well, today we're talking about our election event. There's a forum happening, and we're going to talk about the issues and expectations surrounding this election event. We, of course, as in every single show, we encourage people to contact us and get involved in the conversation. So, Jessie.
Yeah, that's right. So, Adam, can you please tell our listeners how they can get involved with the conversation today?
In, to quote Tex's words, a plethora of ways.
A plethora.
That's right.
A plethora, plethora. Of ways. So you can like us via Facebook, which is facebook.com/wellwellwelljoy, or you can call 1300-JOY-949 to chat to a real live person, or to actually contact us directly in the studio, you can send us an email, which is onair@joy.org.au, or you can send an SMS to 0427-JOY-949. That SMS number again is 0427-JOY-949, and we've now gone into another format of connectability. We are on Twitter.
Oh gosh, it doesn't stop, does it?
Tweet, tweet, tweet. So you can tweet us with the hashtag handle at well, 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 joy.
That's right. And so today we've got two very special guests that are going to be joining us. We've got Ian from Living Positive Victoria, the president of that, and we've got Simon Ruth from Victorian AIDS Council that we'll be calling in later on. We've got Taylor Swift singing 22. I'm not the biggest fan, but Adam absolutely loves her.
So. Oh my God, I am so crushing on her latest album. It's amazing.
What a surprise.
Shut up. It's amazing. It is very good. But this is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and today we're going to be talking with representatives of both Living Positive Victoria and VAC about the election forum that we're about to have. You can see a little bit more about it on our Facebook page.
Yeah, that's right. So this election forum that we're talking about is a community forum, which is actually held tomorrow on Wednesday, 12th of November, leading up to the upcoming Victorian election. And the purpose of this event is to create an opportunity for the community to hear directly from the Minister of Health, the Honourable David Davis, Shadow Minister of Health, Mr. Gavin Jennings, Greens Party member, Ms. Colleen Hartland, and the Australian Sex Party candidate, Joel Murray. So our first guest on the show is the president of Living Positive Victoria, Ian. Welcome, Ian. How
good
are you?
Good afternoon, Jess.
How's it going?
Really good, really good. What a beautiful day.
It is indeed. A bit of a rocky start earlier, but I promise you it's going to be okay now.
Oh, you guys are pros.
we like to sound like it. Could you start off by just telling us a little bit about yourself and what brought you here today?
So I'm the chair of the board, or I'm the president of Living Positive Victoria on the mm-hmm. governance board there, and I come from a bit of a public health background, and I'm a guy living with HIV. I've been living with HIV for 12 years, and I'm really passionate that there are things that need to be done around HIV prevention and also for people living with HIV, and we need to work with our partners, people like the AIDS Council, and also with government, and that's what this document's about. I went to London just over a year ago, and I always think that the best ideas are inspired by other people, and you can learn from that.
Yeah.
And they had a document at the Terence Higgins Trust, which is the big HIV charity there, called 10 Things the Government Can Do. And I loved how it was put together in really plain speaking English language.
Yeah.
And I could see from that simple things that they wanted the government to do and to achieve and that they were campaigning for, and also that they spoke in a language that spoke to the community. So I brought this back to our board and said, we should be doing something like this. We've got an election coming up. And the feedback I got was, well, that's possible, I suppose. We've not done that before, but that's possible. Mm-hmm. And why don't we work with our partners? So we came across to VAC and said to VAC, can we do this together?
Yeah.
And that helped build us up that relationship. And I think it's given us some cohesion about what we do. And we've got 10 sophisticated things, but written in plain language that the government can be involved in a partnership response to end the HIV epidemic.
No, absolutely. Yes. This document, I've actually personally found it also quite helpful. So I think it's really great. In case our listeners don't know, it's a yellow booklet that we've been talking about over the past couple of weeks, and it's recommendations that Living Positive Victoria and Victorian AIDS Council have worked together to put recommendations for our government.
Hmm. And yes, the two organizations work together to put this document out with recommendations for our next to be Victorian government. So in particular, Living Positive Victoria, what was the input and what was their involvement within the document that we're talking about?
It's very much a joint document now. I mean, I think it's something that we came to the AIDS Council with and said, this is something we should be doing together. We also, at that time, I mean, I think our partnership has really strengthened over the last 12 months for the Victorian AIDS Council. And also we have a boring, for some people, memorandum of understanding. But what it basically says is that the two organisations are independent. We believe that it's really important to have a strong voice for positive people, that there's a positive perspective of living with HIV, that and that peer support is very important for people living with HIV. What's changed, I think, in the last couple of years is that positive people, especially when we think about treatment with prevention, which I think we'll come to in a moment, that's about people being on treatment and being much less infectious when they're on treatment, that's very much moving into the prevention space. And historically, I think we've always thought that VAC was in one space all about HIV prevention. But if you became positive, that Living Positive Victoria was the supporting organisation for you. The world is a bit more complicated than that now.
Yeah, and
also, I think that taxpayers and our funders are looking for us to collaborate more closely, and they're looking for more bang for buck. They're looking for greater efficiency. So it's important that we work efficiently together, but also retain our independence.
Yeah. What I like about the document is that, we do have a long history of the two organizations working together. And as you said before, it is written in a way that anyone can understand it. So it's really important for, as I said, the coming elections, for people to guide themselves on who they're voting for, basically, who they're getting into power. What is the importance of the two organizations putting the effort into a same version of what's happening or a same version of how to deal with the epidemic?
Well, one of the key things is what policymakers want. So whether there was an election or not, I think that the organisations should be coming together and saying, this is what needs to be done at the present time. They're much more likely to listen to us. Yes.
Yeah.
And we've got a great example of that in what we've achieved so far in Section 19A, and I think in some other areas as well, is actually if we can agree on a common position, of course, you don't want to be on the lowest common denominator. And sometimes we won't agree, and that happens. But I think most of the things in this document are pretty strong recommendations, the things that actually matter. You know, they're not just platitudes, they're things that actually matter and things that would improve the HIV response.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thanks for that, Ian. We'll be back and talking more about Section 19A and a little bit more about the document and some of the recommendations in there. Upcoming next, we've got Britney Spears and a song number 3 from a singles collection. This is Well, 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 and you're listening to Joy 94.9. You're back with Jesse, Carlos and Adam. We're continuing our discussion with Ian, the president from Living Positive Victoria, and we'll be discussing some of the particular issues that are talked about in this document.
So, Ian, with regards to access to treatment, which we touched on sort of earlier, what are your expectations of your organisation for our future government, or how would this differ from what is going on now?
Well, treatments have transformed people living with HIV. It's transformed their lives. We now live practically average life expectancies compared to someone who's not living with HIV. So the issues really are around giving people access to that treatment. And we know that about 6 in 10 people are currently on treatment who know they're diagnosed. So that's, you know, another big issue is if you don't know your status, you can't go on to treatment, you know, which is probably going to save your life. So really important to get tested. But we know that it's actually quite difficult for many people to access that treatment. The way in which it's set up in Victoria at the present time is really unfair. Inequitable is what the public health gurus like to talk about.
Could you elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, what that means is that, so you can get your medications from one of the sexual health clinics in the centre of the city, and you can actually get them for free there without any cost. You can also get them from other hospital pharmacies, but that's going to cost you $36 a time. And if you're living in rural areas, it may be very difficult to access those without coming into the city, which may put people off going on to treatment. And going on to treatment, as I said, is a really good idea for the person, and also for when we think about whether they might pass the virus on, it really effectively eliminates the chances that they're going to pass the virus on. So there were some good things happening. There was a really good announcement made at the AIDS conference by the federal health minister to say that we should have community pharmacy prescribing, which makes sense, obviously. Is that you should be able to get your HIV meds, you know, which are going to be so important for you, from any local pharmacy. That system hasn't been set up yet, and that will need involvement from the states. It's due to be set up from July 2015, so I'd like to see some engagement from the states in how that's going to operate. Ideally, we'd like to see that was available at no cost whatsoever, as it is if you come into Melbourne Sexual Health Service to get your meds. So we'd like to see some of the unfairness eased out within the system, and we'd also like to see people's the chain in which they go through to engage and to find access to HIV treatments improved. What we're looking at, what the world is looking at the present time, is what we call 90-90-90 targets. So that's 90% of people are getting tested who are at risk, 90% of people being onto treatment. At the moment, that's about 60%. So we've got a long way to go to actually get to that 90% target. And 90% of those people having what we call an undetectable viral load, which means that that's very good for them and also for the wider community. So this is the central one, the middle one that we're looking at making a difference in. And we know that we've got to make it easier for people to access medication. So that means system change and also addressing financial costs.
Yes, absolutely.
And so, oh, pardon me. God, that was really bad radio. Sorry about that. It's just at the wrong time. So we've talked about some of the expectations that your organisation has, I guess, of the government. But we talked about 19A. So can you just give us a little bit of an update about where we're at with that? Because there's something that changed around the AIDS conference with 19A.
Well,
it was talked about, but it wasn't quite clear.
It was talked about, but it didn't change. And that's I think, what we're looking for in this election document, is we're looking for talk to transfer into change. We're looking for that around community pharmacy work and around access to treatment. What happened around Section 19A was actually monumental in some ways, because we had the only criminal law which stigmatizes people with HIV, which basically 19A, without going into all the legal jargon, is about if someone intentionally puts another person at risk or transmits HIV, that was a criminal offense. The problem with it is it singles out HIV over anything else. It makes HIV special, and it points to HIV, people living with HIV, and says, you are bad people, you are people to be feared. Yep. Now, we have bits of the criminal law that you can use when someone commits grievous bodily harm or when they put another person at harm. We have a really good public health system, actually, which also deals with people whose behaviour may not, maybe putting other people at risk through counselling and other interventions like that. But the criminal law is not the way to deal with this. And all of the experts would say that, like Michael Kirby gave a fantastic speech over the conference, which said that this is not the way to do. So what we had in the conference was great announcements from the health minister and also from the opposition that said, we will do something about this. The difference is that the health minister said, we will consult and amend Section 19A, and we will also look at some of the how the laws are used, and that the opposition minister from Gavin Jennings from Labour said, we'll definitely repeal this and we'll do this within a specific time frame. So they're almost on the same page, but there is a little bit of difference. You know, you could put a piece of paper between them at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Ian. I'm sorry. Unfortunately, that's all we've got time for today.
Oh, we've flown through that.
We flew through that, which is unfortunate, because I wanted to hear so much more of you talking about that.
Well, come to the election forum tomorrow night, which
absolutely.
I think is going to be a great session. I think it will be quite lively, Q&A, really.
Definitely. So we will be mentioning that again later on, just to remind our listeners about this election forum tomorrow. But thank you very much, Ian.
Thank you.
This is Well, 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 and you're listening to Joy 94.9. We just had a very special guest, Ian, the president of Living Positive Victoria, and it was really great listening to him. Unfortunately, we had to cut that short for our next guest, but we've got Simon Ruth, CEO of Victorian AIDS Council, joining us. Hello, Simon.
Hi, Jesse. Hi.
I'm good. How are you doing? I hear you're calling from, is it Tasmania?
No, I'm in Adelaide.
Oh, you're in Adelaide at the moment.
The National Drug and Alcohol Conference, yes.
Oh, great. Well, thank you so much for calling in at this specific time. So we've just been talking about the election forum that is being held tomorrow, but could you talk to us a little bit more about what we can expect from this event?
So what we've planned is a bit of a town hall style meeting. We're going to have Minister Davis there, Shadow Minister Gavin Jennings.
Yep.
Colin Hartland, who's the health spokesperson for the Greens, and John Murray from the Sex Party, and Mike Kennedy, our former CEO of BAC, will be moderating the event at 6:30 at the Brower Library in Commercial Road. And the format will be each of the politicians will get 5 minutes to state their case and address the joint election platform, and then there'll be questions from the floor, and then they each get a chance to make a closing statement. But it's all going to be very fast, very quick, over in an hour.
And this is open to the public, isn't it? Anyone can come and attend.
Yeah, anyone can come and attend. It's going to be specifically focused around HIV.
Yeah.
And around treatment and care of people with HIV and also prevention of HIV. So if anyone's got an interest in HIV, we'd encourage them to come along.
Yeah, sure.
So are the questions, have the presenters sort of been briefed about what our election platform is and what it is that we want to achieve, or are they actually just coming to the table knowing that this is going to be a forum about HIV-related issues and therefore they're going to talk about what they are going to do if they get into power?
Mm. Well, they all received the election platform back in June. So before the conference, so they've all had ample opportunity to become abreast of the issues, to understand them better.
Yeah, great.
And we will be hoping for some promises to be made about what each of them will do if they successfully get into government.
Hmm. Now, as an organisation, VAC, what are the expectations for our future government, Simon?
Well, I guess you've already spoken to Ian, and I guess I didn't hear most of that, so I imagine Ian would have spoken about the treatment and care issues for people living with HIV.
Yeah, with Ian we talked about treatment and care as well as the Crimes Act Section 19A.
Okay.
So we covered those.
So we would also be hoping for commitments around prevention.
Yeah.
So the Minister for Health at our AGM on Sunday actually made a $4 million commitment to continue rapid testing in the Pronto service if he's re-elected to government.
Oh.
So I guess we'd be hoping for Labor to make a similar sort of commitment that they'll maintain and expand Pronto.
Great.
That's great.
Pronto is due to finish in June next year, so we'd be hoping for some commitment to that. And I guess we'd also be hoping for a review of the post-exposure prophylaxis system. We know it's not good. There's not good access around the state. We'd be hoping the government will strongly encourage all hospitals to participate in that, so it doesn't matter where you live in Victoria, that you get easy and fast access to PEP if you need it. We'd also like to see support for PrEP, pre-exposure prophylaxis, and that's a federal issue, but we'd like to see the state government take a firm position on that, as the New South Wales state government has. And it would be great to see some things like commitments to smoking cessation in the gay community. The gay community's got, amongst the highest smoking rates, and people living with HIV have even higher smoking rates again. So
yeah,
it would be great to see some sort of commitment around those issues as well.
And so I guess just from what you know of the speakers and I guess of the content that's about to be discussed, so at this specific election forum, what are some of the important topics that you think will be covered, like in terms of what the speakers will say to try and sort of, I guess, sway the voters, if for want of a better word?
I think 19A is going to get talked about. I think that's something that we've campaigned on very hard, and I think they'll all have a firm position on that. I think rapid testing will get talked about. We do have the Pronto service. We know it's only a pilot project at this point, a research project, and we need to have some sort of ongoing commitment to that. I think, we're really lucky to have such engaged politicians, and having had the conference in Melbourne means that, all of our politicians attended events. They're all quite well abreast of issues around HIV at the moment. And I think it'll be particularly interesting with Joel Murray being there from the Sex Party. Joel is an openly HIV-positive man. As far as we know, he's the only HIV-positive candidate in this election.
Yeah.
And I think he will bring a completely different perspective to this debate and probably keep the others on their toes.
Yeah, absolutely. Sounds really interesting, actually.
So, Simon, why and how do you think the community will get a benefit from coming along to this forum and joining us?
Well, I think if the community is interested in HIV, this is their chance to ask, get the answers that they want to, the questions that they have. So, you know, if they have a very specific, if they see a gap within the service sector, this is their opportunity to make politicians aware of that gap and try and get some commitment from them. So if you have an interest in HIV, or even if you have an interest in how public policy works, I think this would be a great forum for anyone to attend, to see how politicians perform on their feet, to see how a community engages around its issue. So it should be quite an exciting forum.
Yeah,
and it's also a fantastic opportunity to have a one-on-one direct conversation with a range of people from a range of different parties where you can actually put your hand up and ask them a direct question. So it's got that very sort of, I think Ian alluded to it sort of before in the break, it's got that very Q&A kind of style where...
Yeah, I think it's a great opportunity.
The audience is Tony Jones and they're kind of being put on the spot and sort of, you know, they can't really sort of turn away from a question if you want.
Yeah, exactly. No, I think
no,
it's really
right.
Good.
No, if you ask a question, they're going to have to answer it.
Absolutely. And so the more people we have there, the better. So hopefully coming along and showing you support. Have you got anything else to add that before we head off?
No, just thanks for having us on the show. And it's a beautiful day here in Adelaide. I hope it's a beautiful day in Melbourne.
It sure is. Great.
I'll see you tomorrow night.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Simon.
Great.
Thanks for having me. This is Well, 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 and you're listening to Joy 94.9. You're back with Jesse, Adam and Carlos. Our next very special guest is Anne McGravy-Wright, who's here to talk a little bit about her event called Masking the Face of HIV and AIDS. Hello, Anne, and welcome.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. How are you doing today?
I'm great.
Great. So could you tell us what was it that inspired you to come up with this event and just tell us a little bit about what it entails?
Well, originally my interest was, I suppose, started back in the 80s in art school in America. I had an awful lot of friends who became very ill and sadly quite a few who passed with AIDS and HIV. So it's a subject that I'm quite close to.
Yeah.
And also my partner has a medical background, so I suppose I'm very interested in the research side of what's happening and the hopefulness that it's providing. My partner in business, Nancy Bassett, and I have a small event management business called Follow Us Events, and we are trying to work with nonprofit organizations and provide a cultural overlay so that there's some sort of other event happening at the same time.
Great.
We became connected with the VAC last year during the International AIDS Conference, and the first part of this project was a photo booth that we set up in the Global Village for the delegates and other Melbourne visitors to participate.
Yeah.
So a lot of the images in the exhibition come from that particular photo booth. And this is the second phase that we're hoping will mark the International AIDS Day and raise awareness in the general community about people living with it and hopefully provide a bit of positive kind of visual information there about people living with the stigma of it.
Yeah.
And so what exactly will the opening event and the exhibition entail?
Okay, the opening's on Thursday the 20th at 5:30 at Chapel Off Chapel. Luckily, we've been given a cultural grant by the Stonington Council, which is providing the venue and the cost of the photo booth hire. Have a lot of media. We're going to have the director of the CCP, so this Contemporary Center for Photography, who's a woman called Naomi Cass. A lot of the images, I've curated them with the help of a good friend of mine who's the senior curator at Mona, in Hobart.
Yep.
And Jane Clark is her name. And we've tried to select images that said something particular about people actually using the symbolism of a mask to somehow or another identify with and or express their feelings about living with this illness.
And so these are all images that were taken during the conference time.
Yes.
By a range of delegates who were all coming from all different diversities,
yes,
all ethnicities, and from a range of different countries around the world.
Yes, we've got people from just about everywhere. And we also got to meet them, which was lovely. That was actually one of the most interesting parts for me, because we had to get their permission to be able to use their images. So we talked to them while they were waiting to have their pictures taken. Many people actually came back more than once over the course of the 4 days.
Is that because they didn't like their photo and they wanted to take it again?
I think it might have something to do with that, but I think it's also because they got so intrigued with it.
Yeah.
They thought about it a bit more and they wanted to come back and maybe have a different mask. Or quite a few people actually completely changed within each frame. And it was quite an emotional change.
That's really great.
So, yeah.
So that's the exhibition, isn't it? That's that you're talking about.
Yeah,
that
will be up for 3 weeks.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. And yeah. What is the actual opening event?
Well, the opening event will be more or less official. A lot of people from the VAC will be there. I believe the director of the board is coming. He'll welcome people. Naomi Cass will speak to people about the artistic use over, well, since the 1920s when photo booths were actually created.
Mm-hmm.
People like Andy Warhol and many famous contemporary artists used photo booths. And in this case, it's not an artist actually using it as a tool, but people creating their own self-portraits, which we think is sort of, well, we believe it's a world first, but definitely the first time it's happened in Australia.
I think you already touched on it, but can I just ask you the significance of the mask, using the mask on the photos?
Yeah.
What can you explain a little bit more?
Well, during the international conference, we actually also ran and hosted a fundraising dinner at the Sofitel, and that was the proceeds of that were going to the VAC. We had 200 people. They had over 40 masks created by artists, Melbourne artists.
I went to that. That was fantastic. Yeah, all the masks were amazing. They were beautiful, absolutely beautiful.
Amazing how different they were. It was also wonderful to see how generous everyone contributed.
Yeah,
and I got outbid on a couple of them and I wasn't happy.
Well, there won't be any masks, sadly, for sale, but there will be photographs. And some of them are stunning and really quite amazing. So I hope you'll all come along. The show's up for 3 weeks. If you can't make the opening, at least pop in. And also we just found out yesterday that as part of the World AIDS Day, a selection of the images will be telecast on the big screen in Fed Square.
Oh, fantastic.
Awesome. Yeah, that's going to be
great. So we're really excited about that because that will hopefully, again, raise the awareness about the whole thing.
Yeah.
And we've put in for another grant to take the show to Perth for a contemporary exhibition over there. So we're kind of hoping it keeps going.
That's really exciting. Mm. Yeah, I know that people in the Victorian AIDS Council that are helping organise this and cooperating with you are really excited.
Yeah. Well, we love working with them.
Oh, well, that's great. Thanks.
And, you know, it's just a privilege, really.
And so how can people find out more about the specific event? Is there a Facebook site or is there a website that they can go to and sort of find out a bit more? Do they just call Chapel of Chapel and book tickets or how does it work?
It's free to attend, except we are asking people to provide a donation upon entry, and that will go directly to the VAC, as well as a certain percentage of the photographic sales. So I think ringing Chapel Off Chapel's the best. There's also an email if they want to RSVP and make sure that they are in contact with us or if they have any queries. So the email is N for Nancy and then BAS at bigpond.net.au. And if they have any queries or they'd like to find out more about it, they can ring me on my mobile, which is 0417-388-691. I'm happy to have a chat.
That's great.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much. And just to reiterate, the exhibition runs from the 20th of November to the 7th of December at Chapel on Chapel.
Yeah.
And the opening night is on Thursday, 20th of November, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m.
Exactly, yeah.
Yep. We have got Sweet About Me by Gabrielle Cini. Did I say that right?
That'd be Chill Me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's slightly embarrassing.
Not slightly. It's just embarrassing.
Just a little bit. This is well. And you're listening to Joy 94.9. This is Well, 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 and you're listening to Joy 94.9. We're coming to our very closing segment now. You're back with Jesse, Adam and Carlos. I'd like to say thank you one last time to each and every one of our guests on the show, namely Ian, the president of Living Positive Victoria, Simon, CEO of Victorian AIDS Council, and Anne McGravy-Wright, who is organising the Masking the Face of HIV and AIDS. It's been quite an interesting morning. And so in case if you've missed it earlier, we do have a community forum that is leading up to the up-and-coming Victorian state election called What Your Government Can Do, and this will be held on Wednesday, 12th of November, which is tomorrow, at the Positive Living Centre.
And the forum basically gives you an opportunity to hear directly from the Minister of Health, the Shadow Minister of Health, the Greens Party member, and also the Australian Sex Party candidate. So I think it's actually a fantastic opportunity for you to, as I said earlier when we were talking to Simon Ruth, the CEO of Victorian AIDS Council, basically you get to sort of stand up, put your hand up and ask them a direct question. So it doesn't go through a PR person. Yeah. They can't really turn away from it. It's kind of like you're the Tony Jones of Q&A.
Yeah, I think that's actually going to be quite exciting because they get like 5 minutes to state their case and then anyone from the floor can just ask them questions. It's a pretty unique opportunity that we've got here. So I think I really encourage as many people to come as possible.
It is. It looks like it's going to be a really interesting event.
Yeah.
But we also have next week a forum called Calm Down, which is about drug use.
We do too.
Mm.
And it's going to be another interesting conversation. There's going to be a panel discussing drug use within the GLBTI community.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there'll be a doctor, there'll be the chair of the Harm Reduction Victoria.
Correct.
So the organisation that represents the interests of drug users in Victoria, and a couple of other people as well. There'll be somebody that'll be emceeing. So basically it's open to anyone from the LGBTI community or queer identifying people, and we welcome all members of the community to actually come along. So whether you're a user, whether you're a past user, you're interested to learn more about use and what's kind of happening within the community, or if you have friends that use, if any of these applies to you, and it kind of applies to basically just about everybody, I'd have to say,
yeah.
I think, you know, this is a fantastic opportunity to come along and get informed.
Yeah, and the event is not only limited to any particular drug or
yep.
kind of user, but it's rather aimed to providing a safe space for the LGBTI community to have a conversation about drugs and alcohol.
Yeah, and so it's quite broad, which is going to be good. It's going to cover a wide range of topics, and it's going to be held at Shabeen, 36 Manchester Lane, which is in Melbourne. And please RSVP to inquiries@vac.org.au by this Friday. So the event, as I said earlier, it is actually next Tuesday on the 18th of November. Thank you for joining us today. Please stay tuned next week for another show of Well, 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 brought to you by the Victorian AIDS Council. This is Jesse, Adam and Carlos.
See you all.
Bye.
Bye.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.